The scripture this morning is from the Common English Bible. It's the book 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter, 17th verse. Pray continually. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thank you, Jack. Each liturgist at every service has really taken this on as their own and done it differently. He memorized the scripture this morning, guys. There are so many scripture verses that talk about prayer. I mean, I had so many options this week. There are literal prayers. There are people praying. There are scriptures about how to pray. And then I came upon this, and I was like, this is perfect. I'm in a mood this week. If you saw the pastor's note, you saw my lovely picture. It's normally Pastor Chris's face that you get to see, but this week you got my really excited one from a mission trip. So I'm just in an amusing mood, and I was like, two words. Let's do it. Let's see how it goes. And we send it to the liturgists earlier in the week so that they can practice it, and if there's any hard words they need to learn how to say, they can do that. But we got a call this week from one of them, not Jack, and he was like, there's no scripture here. Something's wrong. And Christy was talking to him on the phone in the office, and so she gets the paper, and she goes, okay, it should say, pray continually. And he was like, that's it? So I've had a lot of laughter this week, but we are continuing our Foundations of Faith series. We are looking at those things that we say or we do in church, but sometimes we don't always look below the surface of. Why do we do these things? What does it mean? And so today we are digging into prayer. And when you think of prayer, a lot of different things could probably come up in your minds, but I think there are some common conceptions and thoughts about prayer. And this one sums up the first one pretty well. I'm going to pray now. Anyone want anything? A lot of times we use prayer to ask for something from God. We just stood here. We lifted up the concerns. We do that every week. And so that's one way that we pray. It's a commonly heard one. But sometimes prayer is also a last resort option. We do it when we have hit bottom more so than we do when we're feeling good and things are going great. We get to the point of we've tried everything on our own, we're broken, and then finally we'll turn to God with our problems. That's sometimes common too. There's a common misconception that pastors are better at praying than everyone else. Misconception, that is not true. Just because we're up here doesn't mean that we can do it better. I think you like to just point at us to pray because some of you don't like to pray out loud. So if you ever invite me over for dinner, don't use the whole, oh, Erica, would you bless us with your prayer because you're with us? No. I'm not getting paid at that point. You pray for me. So when I ask people to help with youth group, often the response I will get is, I think I can help you, but don't ask me to pray with them. And that's okay. A lot of us, I think, feel like we're bad prayers, or we don't know how to pray. We feel some guilt or some shame, and so we avoid praying out loud. We avoid having those group huddles where everyone has to take a turn to pray. And so today, I am hoping to liberate us from this feeling and to set our prayer lives free. And to do that, we are going to look at some questions. So our first question, why do we pray? Why should we pray? When I was in high school, I went to a private Christian school. We had chapel every Friday morning, and I had a Bible class right after. And so in Bible class, I remember speaking this question aloud. And I don't remember how my Bible teacher responded to me or handled me, but I know he would be shocked to see me as a pastor today. But I just felt so frustrated with the response that I kept getting. Just pray about it. Just pray about it. And I am sorry if I have ever said that to you and you were like, Erica, that's not what I wanted to hear. But I was just, it wasn't cutting it for me anymore. And so as a teenager, I had never seen God move after I had prayed, or at least I didn't think I had. And I wasn't aware of just how active God was in my life because I was a teenager. I was very self-focused. No offense, guys. But as a teenager, we're so wrapped up in what's going on in our life and all of our emotions, I couldn't see that God was responding to my prayers. So in Bible class, I just had enough one day, and I said, I don't understand why we're doing this. There is no point to praying because nothing happens. We don't hear anything back. Nothing happens for what it is we're praying for. And what's even the point of praying? There's probably no point because God's going to take care of it however God wants to take care of it. I don't remember how he responded to me, but I know that a lot of us probably ask these questions still today. Maybe my high school self was a little too negative, but I still sometimes struggle with questions similar to these. So why should we pray? Here is something that my Bible class, my chapel, and my Sunday school growing up never taught me. Prayer is not just to ask for things. The point of prayer is to have a conversation with God. Such a simple concept. It's just to have a conversation with God, but yet no one said it to me. So as a church, we have been invited by Pastor Chris to all read through the Bible together on the Bible app. And the devotional plan that we're going through is written by Nikki Gumbel, who's one of the alpha leaders. And so he said this about prayer. It's the most important activity of our lives. It's the very purpose for which we were actually made, to have a love relationship with God. And all love relationships thrive on communication. So we pray to have a conversation with God, and it is the very thing which we were made for. My favorite image of prayer in the Bible is in Genesis, and it doesn't use the words, "Dear Father, Amen," or say, "This is going to be a prayer." It's the image of the Lord walking in the garden, seeking out Adam and Eve. And at this point, they've already taken the fruits that they weren't supposed to, and so they were hiding. But if you read in between the lines of this, it shows us that this was something that they did together. God would walk in the garden with Adam and Eve. That's prayer to me. Just strolling along with God, having a conversation. Nikki Gumbel compares prayer to a love relationship, and that can only be successful with communication. So when we take that time to communicate with God, what is truly happening? If we were made for this conversation with God, then our souls are longing to grow closer to the God that created it. And so every time we open up that channel of communication, it makes us aware of the presence of God all around us. We're moving our very souls closer to their original purpose when we pray. We were made to walk in the garden with God, and prayer gets us just a little bit closer to that. The next question we're going to tackle is one that really fueled that frustration I was feeling. What's the point? What's the point of having a conversation with God if God isn't going to speak back? What's the point if God isn't going to do what I'm asking him to do? As I have grown into a pastor and I have taken care of some pastoral care with you all, I have had to really struggle with this question and really work it down, not only for my own understanding, but in order for me to be able to respond to the questions in your eyes whenever we walk a hard path together. A lot of times we ask this question when bad things happen. Lord, why didn't I get that job that I thought you had lined up for me? Lord, why did you let my cancer come back after I had prayed that it would be gone forever? Lord, why did you take my loved one away after I prayed that they would be healed? Lord, why did you let our denomination get to this point of splitting after we all prayed for unity? Those are some really big questions. And maybe you didn't resonate with any of them, but I'm sure you've had big questions too. Sometimes it can feel like God isn't listening to us, or maybe he just doesn't even hear us. And for me, this question hit me the hardest right before I came into ministry. I had been working on a sociology degree, and I quit school to go start working at a nonprofit with children, and I thought I was on the right path. I was getting that experience that all jobs say you have to have first, but the pay was terrible. The hours were too long, and the stress of it was so bad that I came out with it with my heart deciding that it doesn't want to beat properly, and so that's how that job ended, and I had to leave. Even though I thought I was on the path that God put me on, I had to leave, and I had physical damage to myself in the process. So I went back to an old job at a customer service for a car dealership. The pay was better, that's why I went back. And I was so frustrated. This job didn't help anyone. I sat at a desk and I answered a phone and I scheduled appointments. This is not what I wanted to do with my life. I thought I was following God with the first job, and now I ended back at nowhere. Or at least that's how it felt to me. So one morning on my drive into work, I started cry praying. That is my term for when you are just so mad, you're so frustrated, and you're so sad that when you try to pray, you just start crying because there just aren't any words that can express how you're feeling. I listen to Life 88.5 a lot, and this is the first time that I heard Hillary Scott's song, Thy Will. She says, I'm so confused. I know I heard you loud and clear, so I followed through. Somehow I ended up here. I don't want to think I may never understand that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I've got is hurt, and these four words, Thy will be done. That's the answer. We pray to talk to God, and sometimes we may not understand the answer we get back or the lack of an answer. But the thing that we have to remember is that we have a good God, and our good God is always at work. Even when we can't see it or hear it, He responds. And we must accept that His way is the best way, even when it's not what we want. We have to surrender to God's will. God's answer to us is not always going to be yes, because as a parent, we would not always say yes to our children. The answer is always for good, but it is not always yes. So today, I can see now that going back to that customer service job allowed for me to save up enough money to be able to go back to school. And by the time I could go back to school, I had been bitten by the ministry bug. And so instead of going back to finish my sociology degree, I started a new path and started a ministry degree. What felt like a letdown to me was a setup from God. And I can see that today, but it didn't make what I went through then any easier. So God is communicating with us, even when we don't hear the answer right away, or the answer's not what we wanted. He communicates through the world around us, the music we hear, the people that are around us that speak into our lives, those little inkling of the feelings that we sometimes get, and He speaks to us through His word. And hear this, the frustrating truth is that in this life, we may never understand God's answers. We may never understand them, but as we have a conversation with God and we open our souls up to growing closer to Him, it becomes easier for us to see that we truly have an amazing, loving, good God who has our best interests at heart, and it becomes easier for us to say, Thy will be done, not mine. But this is not easy, and don't think that just because I say it up here that this is something that is immediately going to happen for us. We all will struggle with this, but it's going to take the work of us trying to grow closer to God to make it just a little bit easier. Marjorie Thompson is the writer of Soul Feast, and she says this, sometimes prayer seems to us the feeblest and least desirable option, but our confidence in the power of prayer is rooted in the promises that God is continually working for good in the midst of ambiguous situations, and that God's purposes will prevail in the end. So now we can see what the point is. So our next question, how? How do we pray? When I was growing up in church, I was in a Christian school, this is what I was taught. You pray to ask Jesus into your heart. You probably pray for forgiveness every single night because you need it, and we always got to pray before dinner. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. Amen. My grandparents still make me say that prayer sometimes. If this is how you were taught about prayer, then you are probably an adult who doesn't like to pray out loud. But that's okay. When I first started here, though, I realized that when the head pastor was preaching, I would be the one praying. And then I realized, well, that's like every weekend out of the year. So every weekend out of the year, almost, I have to be the one that stands in front of you all and leads you in prayer four times a weekend. I panicked at first. Just because I have a license that says I'm a pastor doesn't mean that I want to jump up in front of 1,000 people and pray out loud. I am a pastor, but I still have the same insecurities that you do about prayer. Praying out loud is not fun for me. It's getting easier, but it's not fun. And before this service, I panic every week before prayer time. I don't know what it is about you guys. I don't know if it's because we're live streaming, and so I'm like, this is recording for all eternity, or if you guys are intimidating, but something about this service makes me sweat before prayer time. I couldn't even finish singing that song because I went, oh, it's almost prayer. Valor, you can stare at me now and watch. Oh, she stopped singing. She just got nervous. My face turns red as we get to the Lord's Prayer because my adrenaline releases. And by the time we say amen, usually it's gone down enough that hopefully you guys can't tell. But you can look for it now. So if even the pastor is nervous about how she should pray in church, how do we pray when we go home for our individual lives? This next scripture, Jesus tells us exactly how to pray. It's Matthew 6, and it is what would have been our scripture today if I wasn't in such a humorous mood. This is the Message version, so that's why it sounds so direct. And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and He knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply like this. Jesus then goes into teaching the Lord's Prayer, which we just all said together a few minutes ago. It's a formula or an outline to teach us how to pray. Tell God how awesome He is, because He is pretty awesome. Thank Him for all the blessings and everything that made today possible. Ask for forgiveness when you need it, and lift up your concerns. This is a formula to help us learn, but it is not an end-all rule of how to pray. Instead, Jesus just says, don't make it a theatrical production. Don't use big words that no one can understand, and maybe you don't even understand. Don't try to make yourself look good or be better than you truly are. Just pray simply and as honestly as you can manage. It's all a communication, a conversation with a loved one. And so if I went up to my husband and had a conversation with him, it would not sound like this. Oh, great Andrew, you are so wonderful at doing the laundry, and I thank you for that blessing. Would you please, out of your goodness, go to the store and get us more cat food? In all things, your wonderfulness will show. Goodbye. Okay, so I don't talk to my husband that way. I told him I was going to do this, and he was just like, what? So I don't talk to my husband that way. If you talk to your loved ones that way, then you pray like that. You go right on ahead. And as a pastor, I do have to say, sometimes elegant or big language is nice. Sometimes when someone is praying and they use that language, it makes you stop, it makes you think, you remember it. But in our own individual prayer lives, we don't need to sound like that unless that's truly how we speak. Pray simply. Some people just start with, hey God, it's me. I had a rough day. I don't know exactly how to feel about it all, but I could use some of your peace. Help me, God. You don't even have to put an amen on the end. And if you can't find the words when you're trying to just be honest and simple, Romans 8:26 tells us, in the same way, the Spirit comes to help our weaknesses. We don't know what we should pray, but the Spirit himself pleads our case with unexpressed groans. Even when we don't know what words to use, we can say nothing, and the Spirit will talk on our behalf because God knows our hearts. I have prayed with unexpressed groans, and I could rest in knowing that even though I can't find the words and the tears are starting to flow, that God can hear my heart. So if you're one that feels like you are not a good prayer or you can't pray, hear this good news. There are no rules, and the Spirit prays for you when you can't find the words. And prayer can look really different. Sometimes it's a quiet prayer with no words. Sometimes it starts or ends with tears, yelling, huffs. Every week we hear pastoral-led prayer. Our children pray simple prayers that we could learn a lot from. There's praying in groups, praying for one another. And then my favorite, the common one, praying while driving. This one you keep your eyes open for. However it is that you pray, just talk to God honestly, and when you have to do it out loud, keep it real. Don't worry about what everyone else is going to think, because you are not praying to them. They are not God, and God just wants to hear from you. Nikki Gumbel sums it up with this. First of all, keep it real. Be honest. Be vulnerable with God. Say what's on your heart. He doesn't want to hear about what you think ought to be in you. He wants to hear what is really in us. And then keep it simple and keep it up. So keeping it up, last question, when do we pray? Is it just at church? Is it just in the morning to start our day off? Or is it just before a meal? This is where our Bible verse today comes in. And it says, pray continually. So what does that look like? I want to share with you again the note that I put in the pastor's notes that I said I had been working on for a while. Marjorie Thompson wrote this: prayer is initiated by God. Prayer is initiated by God. No matter what we think about the origin of our prayers, they are all a response to the hidden workings of the Spirit within. Think about the last time you prayed. Outside of just a few minutes ago. The last time you prayed, it was not because you had the thought to pray for that person or because you wanted to. It's because God was sitting there poking you, saying, hey, turn to me. Let's have a conversation. To pray continually then means that we are living a life of prayer, to be in conversation with God, not just at church, but always. Always trying to be aware of his presence all around us and trying to grow closer to him. Maybe this does start with you starting the day with prayer. Instead of checking your emails, you just start talking to God about what you're going to face that day, what you thought about in your dreams, how yesterday went. Maybe this is while you're getting ready. Maybe this is while you're driving to work. However it is, I encourage you, just start somewhere and see what happens. And then as you grow into it, when you face those bad things in the day, the things that train wreck your plans or startle what you were trying to do, just pause. And instead of reacting, which all of us do, we text our best friend, we call our spouse, we make a backup plan because we just can't handle what's happening. Instead of jumping into that, just pause and give it to God first. That one's hard. Still working on that. But I encourage you to join me in working on that. And as we run into those bumps in the day, it'll get just a little bit easier to hand those over. If you think you're bad at praying, just try it. So hopefully today, you can walk out of here knowing that praying is having a conversation with God so that our relationship can grow. We pray even when we want something and when we may not get what we are wanting, but we pray so that we can grow closer to God and know that God has our best interest in mind. We pray simply, honestly, and intimately, and sometimes that's without words. And we can do it anytime. It's being aware of the presence of God that is all around us all the time. And it's us making the effort to respond to God calling us into prayer. So you can go forward today knowing that you can have an open conversation with God all throughout your days. It'll bring you the presence of God at any moment that you face. Right now, I want us to turn to God in prayer, and I'm going to open us and close us. But in the middle, I want you to take a moment and respond. Respond however you feel led, whether it's words or not words. Would you join me? God, you called us here this morning to hear something. So we respond now to your Spirit calling us into a conversation. Lord, let us feel your prodding and nudging into prayer this week. Make our souls long to grow closer to you so that we turn to you in every moment and that we always feel your presence. In your holy name, amen.